Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
Hey folks, welcome along. Thanks for joining us as always. And for what is, did you know, PJ Gallagher?
Yes.
This is the final official Glory Days podcast of the year.
Of the year, yes it is, because we're sort of taking our annual leave and stuff, and there's going to be next week, of course, we're doing the show on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Christmas Day, that show.
Yeah.
And we're going to put that up as a podcast after, so don't panic. Yeah. If you can't listen on Christmas morning, and you can listen to it here.
Don't assume it's us being lazy or anything.
No, for God's sake, don't be thinking about that. There'll never be something such a thing.
So this is the time. So this, as you know, PJ, obviously if it is the last one of the year, now official last one of the year, it is a time for reflection and
yeah, to hell with that. That never goes well. Sure,
you see, the thing about it is, right, previous years, pre all the madness, right, pre the old Rona and all that, you would do things, because in your year, there would always be different bits and bobs or whatever that would have happened. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's a,
and I'm not talking about like getting married or buying a house. Just stuff, you know.
Even in a boring year, you'd be up to something. You'd have a holiday or something
like that. A holiday or something. And like, honestly, for loads of people now, if you try to reflect on your last 12 months, you don't come up with an awful lot.
Not a lot, sure you don't. Shite. That's all you just think of. You just look back and you go, what a load of shite that was.
Yeah.
Like,
but I tell you what it does do. It does help you find the smaller stuff.
Wait a minute now. Are you going all Dalai Lama on me here?
No.
Are you going to start telling me all, one hat finds the enjoyment in the taste of a mince pie instead of a holiday?
I tell you.
Or something. Is this what you're doing?
They are very wise words. That wasn't what I was talking about, though. But I'm just saying, where once upon a time, if you were thinking back on what was great in the year, and as you say, a holiday, say, or maybe you got a, you changed your car.
Of course,
or something like that. And now it's a bit like, God, I remember I was, I went down and we had lunch that day in wherever it was. And, it's just great. You know what I mean? It's a great atmosphere.
I know, it turns us all into boring farts.
A lunch, that's what you're saying.
Yeah,
that's
a lunch.
Of the year. That's what you're saying.
I know, it turns us all into boring old farts. Remember years ago you'd meet some boring old fart, and you'd be disgraced because you'd be standing there and you go, I went for a sandwich. And you're like, what do you mean you went for a sandwich? Oh yeah, I went for a sandwich. Wait, what's his name? Fred. Is it Fred or John?
Yeah.
Fred or John? Is it John or Fred?
Is it important to the story?
No, hold on. Will you? If you're gonna rush me now, we'll never get to the end of it. Was it Fred? Let's say it was Fred.
Oh,
and you know these
God.
People, they're so boring. And then it gets to the end of their story, and what they are saying is they went for a sandwich. That's the story.
Yeah.
That's the fucking end of it. Beginning and end of it. I went for a sandwich, end of story.
Yeah.
But they managed to drag it out. And we've all turned into that boring old fart now because we don't have stories to tell.
But I also think that could be an age thing. Do you ever notice that when you're grown up? With Outfields in particular, the idea that it has to become a full production.
I know, yeah, you can.
And they get very annoyed and all if somebody else interjects. Or if there's, or tries to add to it. Hold on a minute there. Anyway. So, I walked up to him anyway. And I said, and you're thinking to yourself, is it going to be this slow? The whole process?
I can't deal with this now. And if you say that to them, I can't deal with this, they go, well, you see what you're doing.
Or else you turn around and you do the old, I'm catching a bus. I won't hold it anyway.
Oh, we have a friend like that.
So,
Here's a quick one for you. We have a friend like that says that to us. You know this fella?
I know the lad.
You know,
I know him very well.
Here's a quick one for you. That's what he says every time you meet him.
Yeah.
Here's a quick one for you.
And when he says, here's a quick one for you, that's your cue to ring and cancel your holidays.
That's it, cancel.
You're not going.
Cancel everything. Hit the alarm bell. SOS. Get the guards. Get the fire brigade. Because it ain't going to be a quick one.
Oh, no.
And every single time, it's
not going to be one.
It won't be one either. Yeah, yeah. It starts, he does this. He's a sneaky bastard, right?
Yeah.
He does this. He comes up to you and he goes, right, here's a quick one for you, right? Before you head on. So here's a long story that I'm going to start in the middle. And I'm going to start the story in the middle. And then when I get to the end and you don't know what happened, I'm going to recontextualise everything from the start. So I'm going to give you the start at the end, right? And then when I'm finished doing that, I'm going to say, before you go. That's the second move.
Yeah.
Before you go. So quick one for you. Before you go. He always does that. And then he gives you, so before you go, just here's some more El Bornell shite that I'm going to give you.
But the other
in the
thing
wrong
is,
order. And then after that, He goes, before you go. What else is the other one? Oh, he's got another move, and yeah, I can't think of it.
Because I tell you what he does, right? He has
That's what he fucking does. While I have you. So, a quick one for you, before you go.
And while I have you.
And he'll stick a third one in. But every single time.
He's modelled his storytelling on the Marvel franchise, I think. Because it starts off with a particular sort of, here, quick one for you, right? And then, as you get through it, every time a character is mentioned, there's an offshoot of a new story in relation to that character. So part of the story will be, so then your man who was in the shop, Tony, right? And then he goes off on a different time.
His father now. He'll tell you something about your man Tony that works in the shop. He's another good friend of mine. His father now. His father used to play Gaelic for Donegal back in the day. Played with the great team. It's nothing to do with that. Get to the point.
Yeah.
Get to the point.
It's like that Ronnie Corbett thing. Remember your man Ronnie Corbett used to do that in the two Ronnies?
He'd start off
to tell a joke and would fit in about eight other jokes before he got around.
Yeah, that's what he does. Except there's no punchline. Except with this lad, there's no punchline.
Yeah.
He just leaves you hanging. Yeah.
It's an amazing gift.
It's an amazing gift, but it's like a superpower. It's like how to drain the life out of someone in a short amount of time by just telling draining stories.
Yeah, you do have to. You feel sometimes that you do have to turn around and go, listen, I don't want to rush or whatever, but I'm going to have a birthday next year.
I know. Yeah, exactly. And the same fella would stand about 2 inches away from your face. He's two inches away.
I tell you, I used to work with a lad years ago.
No idea of personal
had
space.
That weird habit as well, where they'd walk up to you and it would be, they'd be almost nose to nose with you.
Yeah, what's going on with those people?
And you'd assume it was going to be an aggressive thing, so you're kind of constantly, you're leaning back.
I find myself walking backwards and he just follows you. By the time you get to the while I have you, you've walked about 100 yards backwards. Until you hit a wall, basically. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I tell you something. What a gift, eh?
I'm telling you.
Oh my god. And the thing about it is, if you say anything, I always find this weird that if you say anything, that's kind of if you go look at, not interested or you can't do that. Can you imagine?
You'd be the worst in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Because then he'd go around saying to everybody else, "Come here, quick one for you.
Yeah,
must tell you about that PJ Gallagher." Yeah.
What did I tell you? What have you? What a prick he is. I'll tell you something. And before you go, what did I tell you about his mate, Jim?
It's the never-ending franchise.
It is the never-ending franchise,
yeah. It's the greatest thing.
So try not to be boring to people. Make it a New Year's resolution. Try not to be boring.
Yeah.
If you're one of these people, if any of this rings a bell with you, and you're wondering to yourself, is it me? It's definitely you. It's definitely you.
The best one I've ever heard was, remember you said you had a mate, right? And I think he had a brother. I think it was the brother who was the focus of this. So you'd go to your mate. I think your mate was all right, but his brother was he used to ask you these ridiculous open-ended questions.
It was awful, yeah.
And not even come around to an answer.
No, he'd never tell you the answer. So one of the ones he'll remember clearly was, we called around the house. He used to love watching nature documentaries, right?
Right.
And he goes, who would win in a fight between a tiger? Now, he didn't even give you just a tiger. It was like whatever the breed of tiger was.
Right.
Who would win in a fight between an Amazonian tiger and a French lizard crocodile or something, whatever it was, right? Something like this, some stupid bullshit like this,
right?
And you go, the tiger, and he goes, yeah, you think the tiger, do you? He couldn't just move on,
yeah.
And you go, yeah, the tiger, right? So you're saying the tiger, oh Jesus, they're gonna put my hair out, and you go, yeah, the tiger, and then you go, right, I'm not gonna tell you, you can see the answer on Discovery Channel Monday night at 9 o'clock. Don't miss it.
What was he?
I can't believe this.
Was he?
I can't believe
this. Was he being paid by Discovery to go?
No,
the weirdest form of promotion ever.
Was the weirdest thing?
It's literally the first of a brand new breed of influencers.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't see going around walking up to randomers going, "Come here, who would win, Roy?"
Yeah.
And then promoting Discovery Channel.
Do you know what he was like? It was like he was doing the worst radio show. You know, radio, they tell you to tease.
Yeah.
And then they'll tell you the answer later. Tease. It was like he was doing the worst radio show ever, but without radio, just walking around annoying his brother's mates. That's all he was doing. Walking up to people, just being unbelievably boring.
I know a lad who'll constantly do the, do you know the thing about trying to make you feel like you're somehow, that you're not inferior, but that you're missing out,
or whatever,
or you don't
yes.
know good stuff. It's 80 things.
You haven't lived.
To see that thing on the Battle of Vermeulen in 1807. And you go, no. Oh, you didn't see that?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that. Oh, my God. You didn't watch that, no. You didn't see it, no. Oh, it was... No, I didn't. I've no bloody didn't. Interest.
I don't care.
What are you doing? Or, yeah. See the thing about the aliens with the technology that... No, I didn't see that. What? You didn't watch that? On Discovery.
You didn't watch it. It was on at 3 o'clock in the morning on BBC Two.
And he's trying to and make out that you make shit choices in your life.
Oh, yeah.
Because you were watching, I don't know,
it's always
sport.
It's always the arsehole who does that. That is also the same person that no matter what, if you buy something for yourself, no matter what it is,
yeah,
they look at it and go, oh, why didn't you tell me? I could have got you another half the price.
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Why didn't you tell me? I can't believe it. Did you get a new TV? Yeah. Ah! Why didn't you tell me? I know a fella called Frank Feely sells televisions for half price to me and me mate only.
Yeah. And while I have you.
While I have you. What sort of car is that? Oh, jeez.
Oh, man. Right, listen, let's give you a few of the best bits from during the week on the show. I tell you, the brilliant Christy Dignam in with us.
We did. He's so brilliant. I love Christy. I love when he comes in.
And
he's
so does
brilliant.
Everybody else. The reaction we got.
It's always, every time he comes in, it's phenomenal, isn't it? People
always
love him.
Good. Always good. So Christy was on the show this week. We'll give you another chance to hear that. Also, we were talking about how we're not quite sure whether we have any hobbies or not.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out if we have hobbies. Well, I have a couple, but Jim is still wondering if he has one or not.
I'm still trying to struggle with the idea of whether or not I have a hobby. Anyway, so we ended up talking a little bit about that. Also, we were talking about Gino De Campo. Now, it came about in a weird way. Oh, no, he was in a story.
He was in a story, but he was given out about... He says, basically, he was given out about parents.
That's it. Not very rude he was, too.
Very rude.
Rude he was, too. So we'll give you a chance to hear that. And also... something that PJ and myself are very familiar with: superhero failings.
Yeah, well, I'm very good at the failings part anyway, that's for sure.
Well, listen, we'll talk to you in a few minutes.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
Just came across a bit of a story in the paper this morning, right? About, obviously, you know, the New Year thing is happening, right?
It is,
it's going to happen.
No doubt about it.
What is it, 3 weeks away now? Is it two weeks away?
Yeah, not too far off.
Yeah. And we were talking about the resolutions thing, right? And how we don't really take them that seriously. Well, you were saying you'll make really easy ones.
Of course, yeah, real nebulous ones. Like, I will laugh every day. You know, stuff you can't fail at. You
Dalai
know.
Lama stuff.
Yeah. I will talk to somebody at least once a week. You know, real sort of, you know, those sort of things. Yeah.
But apparently, one of the things that a lot of people are planning to do, right, and it kind of sparked an interest for PJ and myself, was a lot of people are saying they want to take up a new hobby.
Yeah.
Right?
60% of us want to take up
a new
hobby.
That's a big number, isn't it?
It is, yeah. 60% of us want to try and improve our skill set, yeah.
And because of... the reason it sparked an interest with PJ and myself was because... We were trying to think, do we have any hobbies?
Yeah, well, Jim goes, I don't know if I have hobbies, do I? And he asked me, as if, well, I'd be the last person to know. If you don't know, I
did actually say to
PJ,
yeah, do I have a hobby? And what are you asking me? What are you asking me for? Anyway, but I don't know if I do. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't feel comfortable saying that watching sport was a hobby.
Why not? I think that's a great hobby.
Does that even classify as a hobby?
Well, like, I guess it depends. If you were to go by this story, then they would say no, because this story is like 60% of us want to get a new hobby because we want a new skill set. And you don't really get a new skill set by watching sport.
Yeah.
Unless you think shouting, roaring and getting angry for no reason is part of a skill set.
I'm already very good at that.
Yeah. So there's that. So basically what they're talking about is like taking up a language or learning a musical instrument. Because learning a musical instrument is supposed to be very good for your brain.
Yeah.
You know, it's supposed to be great for your cognitive abilities.
I still do the odd kind of course. I still do the odd study course.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, but that's in the hope that one day when I grow up, I'm going to get a proper job.
Oh my God, really?
Just, I mean, yeah, that's my life ambition.
You listen, you. Don't you dare get a proper job. If you get a proper job, what the hell am I going to do? Where am I going to go?
So I do kind of
Don't you dare do that. Stop that immediately. I don't want you having any hobbies. It's not
that's brilliant. PJ's literally putting out a message there. Do not hire this man.
Do not hire Jim McCabe. Any potential employers, I'm telling you now, do not hire Jim McCabe. I need him right here.
You do the Spanish now. You're very good at the Spanish.
I do a bit of the Spanish. That would be my hobby. And motorbikes would be my hobby. There'd be two things I'd be into.
Of course, motorbikes. But sure, the motorbikes was nearly a profession for you at one stage, wasn't it?
As in,
like, you were nearly racing professionally. I mean, you were taking,
I wouldn't have said
you were
that.
Winning stuff and all that.
I won four races.
Hey, that's four more than somebody who didn't win four.
And I won a heap of, like, you know, placement trophies. But I wouldn't say it was professional. No, no, far from it.
Did you ever think about it? Would you have wanted to?
Of course I would have wanted to, but I wasn't good enough. I wasn't nowhere near good enough.
I'll say that. You never admit that. You always go, but I chose a life on the stage.
Yeah, one thing led to another, and I thought to myself, what would I prefer? Would I prefer to race motorcycles around it
in
exotic locations, or would I prefer to do everything I can to make sure you don't get a job, Jim? And I chose...
Lucky me.
I chose the greater of two options.
Amazing. But because, like, I suppose the hobby thing, I always associate the hobby thing with somebody who, like, say, fixes cars. They love, vintage cars.
I know what you mean.
Somebody who actively plays a sport.
Yeah, I know. That's
like, you know, the way, I suppose the closest I would have come to a hobby in my own head over the years would have been playing golf. But then I played it so badly that, I mean, a hobby in theory is meant to be enjoyable. And all it did was it just broke me every time I went out.
Yeah, I would say
it just destroyed me.
If you have a hobby of any kind, I would say it's getting out of things.
Yeah,
that's something you don't like doing.
I do put a lot of effort into the getting out of stuff.
A lot of effort in getting out of stuff. Yeah, and I'd say that's a great hobby of yours. In fact, I've learned an awful lot from you. I have.
Well,
I would say
glad to have mentored somebody.
I would definitely say our friendship has led to me doing less than I would have imagined. I definitely think this friendship has led to both of us doing a lot less with our time than we could have done.
And being comfortable with it.
And being very comfortable with it, yeah. In fact, I owe you a great debt of gratitude.
Somebody has just pointed out as well, just reminded me of something that I need to ask you about. This has come in from Earl. He wants to know, what about your lawn bowls, man? Remember you were going to take up the lawn bowls.
I know, there's no clubs near me. Unfortunately, there's no clubs near me.
Because you had an interest in everything. I did. Not an interest, an invite.
I had an invite, yeah. But she didn't want me to come and play. She invited me to an open day so I could watch people and eat sandwiches.
Technically, she was really just looking for a bit of publicity. But
that was all
anyway,
she wanted, yeah.
Well played. Yeah, the lawn bowls.
I know, something like that. As I get older, it's definitely something I want to explore, something that I can get out and do a little bit. Like, not just necessarily lawn bowls, but something like that.
We should take some recommendations for good hobbies.
Yeah.
What would be a good hobby? Like, I mean, I suppose
something you can get into later in life, because 36% of people say they're too old to start a new hobby. That's the thing. 36% are very hard on themselves and say, so what would I be starting it new for? I mean, a clapped out old horse. That's not exactly what Jim said, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, words to that effect.
Words to that effect.
Yeah. I don't want to start, I don't know, making jigsaws or something. Not that there's nothing wrong with jigsaws or stamp collecting or whatever. Or train spotting.
Painting by numbers or anything.
Painting by numbers, yeah. I wouldn't have the patience for that.
Yeah, see.
Somebody's just WhatsApped in, stone carving, lads. Are you serious?
Stone carving?
Or us two.
I can barely light a candle with my hands.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
There's been a huge surge over the last little while with the Marvel movies and all the superhero stuff, right? There's been a mad series of these things. God, it's gone on for a fair few years now, isn't it?
It's gone on for a fair few years, but some people can't leave well enough alone. Some people can't just take things for what it is.
Yeah.
You know, researchers have now said, well, yes, superheroes are great and it's great and it must be brilliant for their mental health to be helping other people all the time. But when you look at their lifestyles, they could have lots of trouble later on. Believe it or not, this is actually a story.
Somebody went to the bother of checking out... potential impact on the later lives of fictional people.
They checked out over 50 hours of Marvel movies and had a look into the sort of, the fictional lives and how, if you actually lived like a superhero, it would affect you coming into your middle and sort of later part of your life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So the research into an aging superhero.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
Exactly. So and they've said things like, well, let's take the Incredible Hulk, for instance.
Right.
All those anger, he's almost permanently angry and very bad for your health. Very bad for your health.
High cortisol levels. There's a lot of stress.
A lot of stress hormones. And that means as well, unfortunately for him, they've looked at his BMI. They averaged it at around 120. So he's definitely got very... He could have serious health problems with his weight. coming into later life.
The Hulk has BMI issues.
He could do, It's about 120 now. So if he doesn't do something about it before he hits
his 50s,
say...
The Hulk needs to roll back on the red meat.
He needs
stuff,
to roll back. He does, yeah. And he needs to calm down. He needs to calm down. He needs to pipe
calm down and have a carrot, will you?
Yeah, and then, of course, you say that to the Hulk, you know where that's going to end.
Yeah.
They also say, like, take a Spider-Man in, for instance, as well, because Spider-Man, he works in the day, and then almost all his crime fighting is done at night, so he's not getting nearly enough sleep, which is very, very bad for him.
And so, do we know how much sleep a spider should get?
Well, he's a human that's just been infected by a spider bite.
Right.
So that's very bad for him.
So he's Spider-Man's exhausted all the time.
Yeah, and that can lead to sort of multiple illnesses later in life if you don't get your sort of recommended dose of sleep.
Right.
Dose of sleep. You know, I'm not a doctor the way I talk. And then Iron Man. They're saying Iron Man, you know the way he goes to space quite a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, he's been to space quite a bit and that weakens your bones. So Iron Man's going to have weak bones.
Yeah, but he's Iron Man.
He's only when he has the suit on.
Right.
The suit is what gives him his power, isn't it? He's no actual sort of superhero powers, does
he?
It just has the suit.
But still, going to space is going to give him...
But weaken his bones. Yeah, so there you go.
He risks osteoporosis later in life, does he?
What I wonder is, who sits there and watches these movies with that cynical level of... Who does it? Who sits there looking at Superman and thinking, oh, yeah, all well and good now. Wait, you see what his back is like when he hits 52?
Yeah. So directing a missile off into the sun and all.
Yeah, great.
Well, you can only imagine what that's doing to his
joints.
Rotator cuff on his shoulders.
All his joints.
They'll be ruined.
Sure, his knees are going to be shot. They're going to be shot, those knees.
That is incredible. Talk about sucking the joy out of
anything.
Life. You're literally watching a superhero movie.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous.
And you're trying to find the weaknesses and the failings in the superhero.
That's kind of ridiculous. It really is.
That's incredible.
He uses those three lads as their kind of examples, as not to see superheroes as being the ultimate sort of idols, that it won't end well for them, basically, is what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's also an excuse. It was some doctor's excuse just to sit down and watch movies all day, wasn't it?
Well, that's the other side of it, yeah.
That was some research.
You can think of the researcher pitching that. Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, I should probably watch all the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, no, I should probably watch them all.
And you might on the phone going, are you hungover and you just want a day off work? No, this is research. Very important.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Turns out now that the old Gino DeCampo's in the papers today.
Yeah, he is, yeah. Again.
And he's got a bit of steel to him.
A bit of steel.
Beneath that bubbly, soft, effervescent personality.
Yeah, he likes every so often coming out with these sort of what some people would say are outrageous comments. And he said his new one is, he came out and he said, there's no such thing as a fussy eater when it comes to a child. Literally no such thing.
Oh, wow.
Doesn't believe in it.
I'd say there's parents listening at the moment, they're going, I would get him into my house.
Well, guess what he'd say if he was in your house? He'd say, you're just another moron parent. That's what he said.
Ooh!
Moron parents.
Moron.
Yeah, that no such thing as fussy is just moron parents who refuse to send their kids to bed with empty stomachs. That's what I do, he says. He sounds like something from another time altogether.
Dickensian, this lad.
Yeah, he says, it's the parents who can't be bothered to have a good fight. That's what he said. He was on another podcast, actually, saying it. And they can't be bothered to see their children going to bed without any food. Well, he says, I can. So he says he's no problem sending his kids to bed regularly on empty stomachs. Doesn't care about it.
Send them to bed hungry.
Yeah.
Because
they didn't eat their dinner, yeah. He reckons you should be doing that thing, you know, where you don't eat the dinner and then you come down the next day and you get the same dinner until you eat it. You know, do you ever do that move?
Right. Well, I've heard of it. I would have thought maybe the potential for food safety might come into play, but I know what you're getting at.
That's nowadays, yeah. But remember the days, you never get that from your own parents even, and they just give you the same dinner you didn't eat.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God.
Not sure it extended to the next day, although maybe you haven't said that, I'll probably eat me dinner. But anyway, so the idea is like, if there's broccoli on your plate, I don't know why everybody picks on broccoli. But anyway.
Because most people think it's disgusting. I love it.
Yeah, I think we're the only two. Anyway, so if there's broccoli on the plate and they don't eat it, the broccoli just keeps going back to them.
It keeps going back until you eat it and that's the end of it and you don't get your treats and all of this kind of thing. I know what he's saying. It's very hard though, looking a child in the face then when you know they're going to be hungry in the middle of the night or something. I don't know.
See,
I remember.
You're just showing your weakness.
I am showing my moron. The moron parent. I'm not even a parent.
I'd say, to be honest with you, most people would just... it's the part about being up for the fight.
Yeah,
you know
that's
I mean?
The problem, isn't it?
I mean, the tantrums
Nobody
and the
wants to fight.
Oh my God, your head to be done in.
Yeah, it's, nobody wants to fight. I remember seeing my sister going through it, trying to get the kids to eat food they didn't want to eat. It torments everyone. The whole cul-de-sac could be up in arms over it.
That's, yeah.
The whole cul-de-sac is up in arms.
Yeah, be worse than a car alarm going off in the night if all you were hearing all through the night was, but I'm hungry!
Yeah, why didn't you eat your dinner? It was horrible! You know, yeah. I guess that's
and
it.
Anyway, now, God, I tell you, nowadays, kids would be on the phone lines, to be some helpline somewhere getting called. Or
yeah, do you know what
it's
called?
You'd be getting reported somewhere for, you know, I was actually almost forced to eat broccoli. Can you believe that? Surely that's an invasion of my human rights.
And the guy in the Chinese be going, I know, I'll send you down something decent now.
Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Morning Glory with PJ and Jim here on Radio Nova. As promised, the brilliant Christy Dignam is in with us. Christy, good to see you, my man.
Cheers.
How are you?
Good.
How are you?
Good.
And genuinely, how are you? What's the story with you?
Grand, yeah. Well, look, any day you get your foot in the floor is a good day.
Right.
You know, so I don't even want to go into it because, you know, it's cancer. You know, it's a terminal illness. So when it gets me. But today, it's not getting me today.
It's not getting you today.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're very glad to hear it. Very glad to hear it. Yeah. And Camille, listen, we haven't had a chance, right, to speak to you since the release of the solo stuff. We haven't had an opportunity to have a chat with you about it because, like, I've seen it referred to here as like a legacy solo album.
Yeah.
What's the story with that? Is that just a tag somebody else put on it? Was it?
They said, I'm hoping I'll die. You know what I mean?
Oh, is that it?
You know yourself, when you die, your record goes straight up the charts.
Somebody else makes a fortune.
Well, yeah. Something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, look, all other things being equal or whatever, health going well and pandemic things eventually getting sorted out or whatever, will you do solo gigs, do you think?
Well, I've plan to do solo gigs in the next year. See, it's a bit awkward because next year Aslan are 40 years together, so they're trying to do this 40 gigs in the 40 year kind of thing.
Yeah,
they'd be jammy if they get 40 gigs out of me next year. But anyway, so that's happening. We're doing the O2, and then I want to do this solo thing as well because, like, the record has been really successful sales wise. Like, it went in straight at number 7, I think, the first week in the charts, and I kind of hung around there for a while. So loads of people are saying, listen, can we hear it live? Can we hear it live?
Yeah.
So I mean, everything's subject to the way the gigs are at the moment. But hopefully if things open up in the new year, I want to do a bit of a gig.
Deadly. I have to ask you, right, as well. I want to know whether there's been any stick down the rounds at all about this thing that Billy is going on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
What is the story
there?
Well,
he rang me and he said, look, I'd rather offer me Dance with the Stars. And I said, well, Billy, Dancing with the Stars is made for gobshites. Go for it. I think he's made for that. I wouldn't do it. Do you know what I mean?
No.
And it doesn't lend a lot to our credibility as a band. But Billy is Billy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he'd probably fit right in, though. He'd probably give it 100%.
Oh, absolutely. Billy would be great on it. Do you know what I mean?
Because I have to say,
he's Mr. Showman. Do you know what I mean?
Camille, listen, the other thing I wanted to ask you about as well is something that you're doing. I didn't know about this now. I've only just read it. This thing that you're doing, Bowie Starman. It's going to be on the... Is that done? That's in the bag.
Yeah,
that's in the can already, is it?
Yeah.
So, this is... it'll be on the telly over the Christmas period, won't it?
Yeah, so, again, before the pandemic kicked off, Jerry Leonard, the guitar player with Bowie, so he was touring with Bowie's band and he had Sting's son was doing the vocals. So they're touring the world now. So when he played here in the Olympia, he rang me and asked me what I do. I'd done 5 years and Rock and Roll Suicide at the gig. And I told Sting's son to sit down and show us. This is how it's done, son. So I've kind of developed a relationship with Jerry because of that. We kind of stayed in touch. So then when this thing came up, he asked me what I do the 5 years again. So that's basically it. But you have like all the
I know it's a hell of a lineup. I'm just looking at some of the names, like
it's the original band, you know.
Suzanne Vega is in there as well, and Imelda Imelda's doing something. Joe Elliott's there, and all that sort of stuff as well.
Imelda, actually, I worked with Imelda on the song for Catherine on the album, and I swear to God, you've met loads of kind of celebs over the years, and she's the nicest person I've ever met.
Just about yourself. If anybody wants to check that out, by the way, it's the 27th. It's on, I think. Isn't that what I read there? Yeah, Monday, 27th of December. You'll be able to check that one out. Bowie Starman with the RTE Concert Orchestra as well.
I won't be able to see how to record.
The box on.
And the gig. So the gigs are still happening in Vicar Street, 27th, 29th, and 30th.
That's it. Yeah.
But it is the reduced capacity.
They're sold out now.
Anyway, thanks so much for coming in. It's been a real pleasure.
Yeah. As I said, it's always a pleasure.
Cheers, man.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
So there we have it. Fast approaching the end of the The end of the end. The end of the year. As well as everything else.
That's it now until the new year, for sure. That's it as far as podcasts. But don't forget, like you said at the start, the Christmas show, the live Christmas show, that'll be put up here as a podcast. So you'll still have content. So, you know, we're not leaving you high and dry.
Just in case you feel the urge to have a bit of Christmassiness going on in, I don't know, March.
Yeah, in March, And then, of course, Christy Dignam's coming back as well.
That's true, Christy Dignam's coming in on
New Year's Eve. You can listen to him live on the show on New Year's Eve at 6 o'clock, six in the evening now, not in the morning.
Yeah,
you never
exactly.
Christy out
I suppose
six
depending
the
on when you're listening to this. Ah, you'll have heard this by then. But anyway, yeah, Christy, New Year's Eve, as PJ said, 6 o'clock. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, same here.
I have to say, looking forward
to that.
He's
a grey head, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, he's a lad. You know the way we were joking earlier on about the kind of, come here, I tell you, or wait, I tell you, or whatever. But you would listen to him.
You listen to him all day.
Yeah. And the best part about it is that when he's not on the radio, he's got no filter.
He just
says it exactly like it is.
He hasn't much of a filter when he's on the radio. So it's not a huge shift, but how he doesn't get himself in trouble, I don't know. He's brilliant.
Oh, looking forward to it. Anyway, listen, hopefully you'll enjoy all of that sort of stuff and enjoy a great Christmas and
have a great one.
New Year and all that sort of shenanigans.
All of that. So yeah, stuff your face with turkey and come back 10 stone heavier and we'll all lose it and get back to sort of our normal selves together.
Beautifully phrased.
Yeah, go get fat for Jesus, everybody.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.